I've been thinking a lot about marriage lately, and I remember I was thinking of that phrase in my head, and I was like, not for me, but in the general sense. Just because, you know, of course, obviously, you know, priests marry people and talk to married couples all of the time. Many of you are married, so it's sort of in your life quite a bit. And I was sort of, you know, pondering this as a, you know, as a man who's married to the church, but doesn't have to deal with the practical implications of marriage and sort of like the home environment. I just thought so much about communication. I mean, and it matters to all of us, of course, not just married couples, but it matters a lot in a marriage. Within a marriage, often many of the problems stem from miscommunication or like not communicating at all. And sometimes you'll just find out when you're mediating something between a couple, or you just have an opportunity to bring things to the light, that often expectations or thoughts or anything like that was never actually made known to the other person, like to the spouse. And so it's like, oh, how was I supposed to know that this is what you were wanting or expecting or something, that you never told me that? And then sometimes the next is like, we've been married for 30 years, you know, like it might be a really long time that you've dealt with something like that. And as I was kind of praying about that, pondering that a bit, I really thought that is often the way we can be with God, with our relationship with God. We often don't ask for the things that we need the most. And I think it's easy to do that sometimes because we're sort of like, it's like a general attitude of like, well, God knows everything. He knows my thoughts and this, that, and the other thing. But sometimes I really believe that he needs you to acknowledge them so that you recognize what they are. There's something that I'd heard in the seminary that it's actually a very, very wise thing. Don't over-spiritualize problems. We've been given this amazing faculty of reason. So sometimes it's easy to be like, oh, it's all in God's hands. You know, I'm just going to give that all to him, which is true. But also, that doesn't mean that we can't or should not work on things that we can actually work on, real human problems that we might have. Whether that's like individual counseling for something that we have that we can't overcome, like addiction or something like that, or whether that's problems in a marriage or a relationship which we can't overcome. We've been given a lot of the faculty to work on these things, and we need God to be a part of that equation, but we can't over-spiritualize something and say, I just thought God was going to take care of me. And the context of when I heard that, they were talking about many priests who experience problems. Many of them, these problems were present in the seminary. And they'll say something like, well, I just thought God was going to take care of me. And it's like, no, you've got to actually work on the problem. You can't over-spiritualize it and just think God will kind of like eclipse or supersede a human problem that you're actually experiencing here on earth. So one of the things that we hear in the gospel today that's so amazing is that the extension of God's family gets gigantic in this particular phrase. Again, he's not excluding Mary and the apostles. He's including everybody else. And the one clincher of that whole entire line is that those that do the will of God are the ones that are God's family. And this goes back to what I was saying at the beginning, asking for what we need from God. And this is one thing that's a universal ask. So every one of us can ask for this. Lord, I want your divine will to reign in me, to rule over my life. That means like sort of eradicating our own will to live in God's divine will. But the only way that we could get that is by asking. We have to ask repeatedly. I'm sure many of you have had this experience before, but one of the most profound experiences in my own faith journey was the moment that I'd been thinking about this for a while, But I have to admit, I was probably afraid to say it when I was a younger man. But there was a point where I actually said to God in prayer, but out loud, I was like, Lord, okay, I've tried to do this a million different ways my way, but I want what you want, which is another way of saying, like, Lord, I want your divine will to reign in me. And from that time frame, things really started to change in my life. And I love that I'm able to share that with all of you kind of on a daily basis. Many of the things that changed my life, it's like that momentum that started from that big ask of like, God, I want to do what you want me to do, was going to confession on a regular basis, praying the rosary, which I get to do with all of you nearly every day that I'm here. And like I'd mentioned at the rosary yesterday, that I found the brochure the other day of how I learned to pray the rosary, you know, like how to pray the rosary for dummies kind of brochure. And it was kind of like a little tattery and everything like that, because, you know, it just took a while, because I didn't grow up with it. It took a while for me to memorize it. I just remembered looking around at the church and all of you faithful folks, and I was like, how do these people all just know how to do this? I was like, everybody just seems to have it like ingrained in them. And then I'm just still kind of like peeking at like the next mystery is, you know, I kind of wanted to look like I knew what I was doing. But then now I do, you know. And it's an amazing thing, but it often starts, those giant transformations often start with asking God to kind of help us purge out our own will and to allow his divine will to reign in our hearts. I heard from Justin, our summer seminarian, this morning, and he preached his first homily practica like probably last night, I guess it would have been. Or yesterday afternoon or something like that. And I just thought that was really cool because he was telling me about that, because that was, I think it was about 5 years ago that I was sort of in that spot where he went through those different things. And so I just thought you might be proud that he's kind of like learning how to preach the gospel, and he was really excited because he integrated an Indiana Jones scene into his homily, and so he was really psyched about that. And so... but yeah, you know, this is what we seek to do. If God's will reigns in our hearts, then when we do preach the gospel, whether that's by the example of our life, or it's actually like proclaiming the gospel or teaching the gospel in some kind of like catechetical way, the Lord will guide your thoughts and your minds, because they won't really be your thoughts, they'll be his thoughts, and that's what we're trying to have union with. And so when we receive him, in the Eucharist, remember that reception of him, that reception of his justice and mercy, like I talked about this Sunday, we receive so that we can give. One of the mottos of the Dominican order is that in their contemplation, it's to contemplate and to pass on the fruits of that contemplation. If we're here, we have to be here so that we receive the great gift, but we have to be able to impart it to the rest of the world as much as we possibly can. Some people like me are obviously more vocal than others, but you can do that with your life, or you can do that with speech. There's many different ways that you can do it. Obviously, the Lord saw it fit for me to do so in speech. And so with that, before preaching too long, one more thing. So today you guys will notice that sometimes I use Eucharistic prayer number 4, which is rarely used these days. It's a little long. Okay, yes, I understand it's a little bit long. But pay attention to it today. You can only use it on certain days because it has its own preface. So when we celebrate another thing where there's like a saint or something, you have to use that preface from there. That's the part where you're like, the Lord be with you, lift up your hearts. So that's the beginning of that part. So this one has its own, and they have to be prayed as one. And so on days where we don't have something like an ordinary time, green day, then sometimes I like to use it. But listen to it today, because it recounts all of salvation history in this amazing, amazing, concise thing. And it uses some different language that you don't often hear in the other thing. So it's like, listen to that Eucharistic prayer today and ask the Lord for for his will to reign in your hearts. God bless you all.